A snowy owl takes flight over the Owl River. It keeps a watchful eye on some hikers passing by.
A little music to get us started here as we talk about snowy owls in our state. Beautiful birds, they're a sight to behold. And really happy to have with us today by phone, Ryan Beatty, conservation biologist with the Wisconsin DNR. For more than 10 years, Ryan's been keeping track of the number of snowy owl sightings statewide. And he's with us to share what he's learned about these majestic-looking birds of prey. And that song, by the way, was by Wagon Band. And, of course, we want to hear from you. Questions about snowy owls in our state? Did you see one? Have you? What was the interaction like? Give a call. The number is 800-642-1234, or you could email to talk@wpr.org. Ryan Beatty, thank you so much for joining us today. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Larry. It's great to be here.
Well, listen, since at least 2013, you've been keeping track of snowy owl sightings. Why did you start doing this?
Yeah, that's a good question, Larry. I didn't know I was starting it when I started it, which is how often these things go. For two reasons. One was kind of the science behind it and just trying to better understand a species that we really don't know that much about, despite all the allure that they come with. But more importantly, I was getting a lot of questions. A lot of folks had very high interest in the species. It's an extremely popular, charismatic bird that the public loves. And as such, and being one of the state's ornithologists, I needed to kind of know what was going on. So I started keeping track. And the two things have come together quite nicely to a nice little data set that has kind of given us the pattern of snowy owl movements into the state over the last decade or so.
So what does your database tell us about the migration of snowy owls?
Well, for this year, we're seeing a few birds, which is more than we can say of the last couple of years, thankfully. So there's been a lot of buzz lately in the birding community because there's been more owls moving into the state over the last few weeks than they can remember over the last few years. And those hunches are correct. This time last year, we had only two snowy owls reported in the whole state. And as of yesterday, we've had upwards of 30 reported in the state this year. So quite the increase, which is good. It's not a big year for snowy owls. We've had some eruptions in past years, and we can talk about these periodic influxes of owls known as eruptions. But the last big eruption we had was in 2021, and then we had an even bigger eruption back in 2017. So the numbers we're seeing now don't quite rival those eruption years, but they're better than the last few.
And we should talk a little bit about their habits to begin with. And you know, I had often heard that it was the number of a low number of lemmings, for example, that forced the birds down. But now the new research is showing that, in fact, the opposite's probably true.
Yeah, and my money says it could be a little bit of both, to be honest. But most likely, or at least in most cases, when we see a lot of snowy owls here in Wisconsin, it's because the lemming numbers were very high the previous summer in the Arctic. And so what does a little rodent in the Arctic have to do with snowy owl numbers in Wisconsin? Well, when there are more lemmings in the Arctic, the snowy owls make lots of babies. They do really well in terms of nesting success. They might produce 5, 6, 7 or more young owls. And then those young owls leave the nest and they disperse across the landscape and they move south. And that brings lots of owls down here to Wisconsin. In years when those lemming numbers are low, the owls may not have very good breeding success. There's not a lot to feed the baby, so maybe only one of them survives. Or, in some cases, they're such good gauges of the lemming population, they may not even nest in those years when the lemming numbers are low, in which case you have no young owls moving south and just a few adults that maybe trickle down in, and thus numbers are lower. So really, it's how many lemmings there are in the summer, in turn producing how many baby owls are out there that might move into Wisconsin that year.
Eruptions. I like that term, eruptions, by the way.
Yes, and just to be clear, it's not an eruption like a volcano. It's an eruption.
Eruption. I-R-R.
And it applies to more than just snowy owls. It applies to other bird species as well that make kind of, like I said, periodic influxes. So they might not have a regular migration into an area, or if they do, it's in small numbers in a non-eruption year. They might have a big pulse or movement based on food availability, or with some species, maybe weather helps drive it, and that would cause eruptive movements into a given area in a given year.
And, of course, they're not dining on lemmings here in Wisconsin.
No, but we have plenty of rodents that do mimic a lemming. And they don't just eat lemmings in the Arctic either. They'll eat birds like ptarmigan, which is a grouse-like bird of the Arctic. They'll eat a lot of waterfowl in there as well. It's really that the nesting success is heavily driven by those lemmings. But the adult birds, and especially in migration, all the birds during the winter as well, they get a really varied diet. They will eat small mice and voles and shrews and all those little rodents, but they'll eat a lot of other things. Rabbits are a favorite. Pigeons, which, as you can imagine, is not too unlike a ptarmigan of the north. Weasels, muskrats. And surprisingly, to a lot of folks, they eat a lot of waterfowl and water birds. So things like gulls and ducks and even geese.
So they're what would you call it? They'll take what they find.
They're very opportunistic.
That's the word I was thinking.
They're very opportunistic, and that allows them to occupy a number of different habitats. So, I mean, you might see them in these really wild open landscapes that resemble the tundra, and maybe they're hunting primarily, you know, rabbits and small rodents like voles. But then you see them a lot in harbors and along the lake shores, not only because the waterfront tends to funnel them geographically when they're migrating, but also because they can find plenty of food there. They might find a lot of waterfowl, some gulls, maybe even some rodents in the rocks in the harbors. There's even a very famous picture of one carrying a mink.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, they're such a fascinating bird, you know, and they're different from other owls. I mean, they're more likely to be hunting in the daytime than the night.
And I think that's probably the single factor that makes them as appealing as they are. I mean, there's a number of different reasons, but I think the fact that they can be diurnal or seen during the day is a big contributing factor because people can see them and connect with them. So in general, people love owls. I think there's a certain intrigue to owls. There's this mysterious, you know, quality to them, especially at night. But you don't often get to see them. So when you can go out and see an owl during the day, it's really, really exciting. And then I think for snowy owls, when you add to it, you know, obviously they're very beautiful to look at, bright white plumage, these brilliant yellow eyes. They have these huge, massive feathered feet. You know, obviously easy to look at as well. But for some of us, including me, Larry, like I think it's really cool that they come all the way from these Arctic islands at the far northern end of Canada, almost to the North Pole, and to be connected to that place through a bird, you know, during the winter months is really kind of cool. And they're not that common. So they move unpredictably. There's no guarantee of seeing one. And so if you do find one, you're not going to necessarily take it for granted. So I think you add all those factors together, and it makes for kind of a perfect storm of charisma.
Speaking of storm, Project Snowstorm?
Yeah, so Project Snowstorm is an endeavor that brewed up out of one of these eruptions back in 2013, which was one of the biggest documented eruptions in the eastern United States in almost a century. And it included Wisconsin, where we had 300-plus owls that showed up here. But it's a cooperative or a collaboration, an initiative, if you will, of researchers and conservationists looking to learn more about the species. And it's done a lot of fabulous work. It has a lot of great people. Some of you may be familiar with Scott Weidensahl, who's a very prominent author of a variety of great bird books. But he's also a fantastic researcher as well. And he's one of the leaders of the project Snowstorm. And for the most part, they're studying winter ecology and tracking movements. They're putting devices on the birds, seeing how they move around, studying habitats, behavior near airports. But they're also getting data from the Arctic breeding grounds as well in a way we've never had before. So one of the reasons this species is so poorly known is because they're breeding way north above the Arctic Circle, where there's very few people. And as such, we know very little about the birds during that time. Project Snowstorm's starting to kind of crack into that a bit.
Ryan Brady, our guest today. Ryan Brady is a conservation biologist with the Wisconsin DNR. It's great to have him with us as we talk snowy owls, and inviting you to join in as well. Questions about snowy owls, or maybe an experience to share? Have you seen one or photographed it? Love to hear from you. The number is 800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or you could email us. The email address, talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Talking today with Ryan Brady, conservation biologist with the Wisconsin DNR, and he has studied and looked at and been collecting sightings of snowy owls in our state since 2013. And get some interesting information to learn about these owls as we move along today. Again, join in 800-642-1234 or email to talk@WPR.org. And by the way, have you personally observed snowy owls in our state, Ryan?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. I have been fortunate to see probably hundreds, to be honest. I live in the Ashland area on the south shore of Lake Superior. That's one of the best places in the state to find snowy owls, especially during the eruptive years. I've been fortunate to see, I think, three so far this year. And I can remember one year where I probably saw over 50, Larry.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty fortunate to live in a place where they're kind of plentiful here. And, you know, even though we get varying numbers every year, Wisconsin gets some snowy owls every year. So no matter what, there's a chance to see one.
Chris in Weston has a question for you. Hi, Chris.
Hey there. Thanks for taking the call. I was wondering about the snowy owls and how either they're impacted by other species of owls or how they may impact other species of owls like barred owls and such.
Yeah, good question. In general, there's kind of niches, if you will, or the way they fit into the environment. So they're mostly going to be in the more open areas, snowy owls, and as such, something like a barred owl is more of a forest species, so there won't be as much direct competition. Snowy owls will occupy, you know, maybe the same fields that, say, short-eared owls are in, and short-eared, if you've gone out and watched those at dusk, will hunt over an open field, just as it's getting dark, looking for small rodents. If there's snowy owls around, there can definitely be some interaction where the snowy owl kind of kicks those out because it's the dominant bird. But if there's enough rodents around, they might not get too territorial either. The other big one that comes into play would be in a kind of a semi-developed area where snowy owls sometimes set up, and you have some great horned owls around. Now, those are two of our largest owls. And as such, that'd be a good battle to witness. Unfortunately, I never have. But I imagine there's some tussles that take place in the darkness of night. And great horns are very fierce, so they could probably hold their own as residents. I would think they could hold their own on their resident territory here and kind of kick the visitor along. With that said, female snowy owls are considerably larger than males and will more easily usurp a territory than a male.
So how, in terms of if you had a female snowy sitting next to a great horned, you'd certainly know the difference because of the coloration, but in terms of the size, how much different are they in size?
Not Not a lot different in, say, the height of the bird or even wingspan, really. Maybe the snowy's got a little bit of an edge. And then in terms of how much they weigh, a snowy on average is maybe a pound heavier. So they're pretty close. But obviously the great horns tend to be much darker plumaged overall, especially in the facial area.
Yeah. Bev and Rhinelander, we'll go to you. Hi, Bev.
Hi. I just wanted to say I was fortunate enough to see and photograph a snowy owl in Rhinelander last winter, and I was very excited about it. But when I hear there are only two in the whole state, I realize how lucky I was.
Bev, thanks for calling. But there's probably more.
Yeah, so I do. I think I remember that bird. There was, just to be clear, there were only two as of this date. So by the end of the winter last year, we had documented about 20 different owls. But still, to find one of those 20, especially in a Northwood site like Rhinelander, is really, really excellent. Yeah, and my count, as you point out, Larry, I mean, it's an index, if you will. It's certainly not a final number. We have other sources of this data as well, to some extent, like eBird, which is an online platform for reporting bird observations. But certainly there are more owls on the landscape than get counted. With that said, with social media now and a big white bird like that and how excited people get about them, a lot of them show up on Facebook or Instagram or some other site. So the number that go undetected, I think, gets a little bit lower every year.
Well, in relation to that, Mary Beth in Appleton has something for us. Hi, Mary Beth.
Hi. My son is a wildlife videographer, and he has just seen the white snowy owl, and his Instagram site is Nick Loves Wildlife. And he has videos of all the wildlife that we have, well, all that he's possibly seen in Wisconsin. So he's traveled all around Wisconsin and Minnesota, and actually in the Dominican Republic, and videoing different types of wildlife. So it's a great opportunity for someone to see the snowy owl and other wildlife in Wisconsin.
Nick Loves Wildlife. Thank you, Mary Beth. Appreciate it. Just thinking about that, I think they're some of the most photographed birds. I have, I think it's a 40 by 30 photo framed from Tom Mangelson. You may know of him. Well, he's a pretty famous wildlife photographer. And it is a snowy owl on a barn roof and a blue sky and this roof, kind of a grayish kind of building, and that snowy owl perched on top of his absolutely beautiful photo and a large one. It takes up a lot of space. And I also have a wood carving of a snowy owl as well, full size. And I love that as well. Do you have any? I'm sure you, Ryan Brady, you've probably taken many photos of snowies.
I do have a lot of photos, and I'll always take more because they're so photogenic. And every time I see one, the camera has to come out, regardless of maybe where it's sitting or how far away it is. And to that point, they're an extremely popular bird even among non-birders. So if you think about just casual, you know, onlookers who maybe don't have a great love of nature or the outdoors, they still pay attention to a snowy owl. And in the world of photography, a lot of folks, you know, their kind of doorway to bird photography is through snowy owls and other owls as well. And I think it just kind of speaks to how much people kind of love those birds.
Yeah. Mary Beth, thank you. Jim and Hayward, your turn. Hi.
Hi. I have a question about the migration. When snowy owls migrate, are they solitary migrators, or do they go in groups, or how does it happen?
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, they are solitary migrators. It is not impossible for a couple to stay somewhat in touch with each other and maybe end up in the same spot, even nearby. And whether those are siblings or, you know, mated pairs, I think is very unknown. But for the most part, they are migrating singly. The majority of them are migrating at night at relatively low altitudes, and they can cover hundreds of miles in a night. And they can fly over big water bodies, whether it's Hudson Bay or Lake Superior or Lake Michigan. They're pretty proficient at flight.
Yeah, for sure. That's really interesting. Jim, thank you for calling. Albert in Northern Greene County. Hi, Albert.
Hello, Larry.
Hi, what's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to report a sighting of a snowy owl. It was quite a few years ago. It was during the Harry Potter craze. I have a stand of woods outside my house, and from my deck, I see all kinds of birds out there, all kinds of woodpeckers. And there are owls. I've heard the barred owl. I don't see them, but I hear them. And one morning I went out on my deck, and there was a snowy owl perched on the tree, and he was looking over my land. And I was hoping he would stay, because we have plenty of road for him, I'll tell you that.
Well, it's a good story. And you mentioned hearing the barred owl. Jeff Robbins, our technical director today, has... the song of the snowy owl. Let's listen to that so you can hear it. There we go. Have you heard that song, Ryan?
I have not, and that would be one they would give on the breeding territory most likely, and I'll point out that's not much of a song. I think we can all agree about that.
Yeah.
but it's a low raspy hoot that they would give on the breeding grounds. On the wintering grounds, they're generally silent, much more so than other owls. Occasionally when they're in a territorial dispute, or as, you know, maybe March, April comes and the hormones start getting going a little bit, you might hear them make some whistles or some barks or some other little short noises. But they certainly don't have the traditional kind of patterned hoot that a lot of our other owls have.
Bill in Oregon saw one night on Highway 22 near Alcona Falls. From a distance, it looked like a big white garbage bag on the side of the road. Then it started flapping its wings as he got closer. He assumed it was eating roadkill. Will snowy owls eat carrion?
They will if they need to, especially in harder times. I mean, it could have been that it killed something on the side of the road. That is one of the more popular places for them to hunt, in these roadside ditches, which unfortunately also leads to one of their leading causes of mortality here in the winter, which is collisions with vehicles. So it's possible it was eating some carrion. It could have caught its own as well.
Yeah. Marge Gibson, who is one of the rehabbers, one of the most famous rehabbers I think we have in our state, has had to treat some of the injured ones, and some have even been brought in dead.
Yeah, so in some years, when these birds get here, they might be a little bit emaciated. You know, they've flown almost 2,000 miles. Maybe they had this long crossing over the boreal forest or a long crossing over one of the lakes. Maybe it's a young bird that doesn't have as good of hunting skills and thus wasn't able to put on the appropriate fat and resources it needed to make the journey, and they end up in rehabilitation. With that said, many of healthy ones are struck by vehicles as well, and there might be some electrocution issues as well, or maybe collisions with other infrastructure, not just cars going along. But one of the biggest issues, Larry, is secondary poisoning from rodenticides.
If
anyone out there is using kind of these mouse or rodent poisons, you want to be really careful, and I would strongly discourage it, because it doesn't act right away, and then the rodent goes away with the poison, and then the owl catches the rodent, and that can cause the death of the owl.
Oh, man. Well, they're a wonder to see, and Ryan, I want to thank you so much for taking a few minutes to be with us today to talk about them. I hope we can do this again. Thank you so much.
Oh, it's great to be here.
Ryan Brady is a conservation biologist with the Wisconsin DNR and obviously knows a whole lot about snowy owls. Love to see those birds. And love to have you listening in. And I want to thank you so much for listening in. This and all of our shows are a team effort. Our producers, Clara Neipert and Joel Patnod. Our technical directors, Lee Rayburn and Jeff Robbins. And our executive producer is Jill Nadeau. I'm Larry Mueller. Our consumer protection folks are with us tomorrow on the show. But for now, stay with us. There's lots more in store right through the afternoon on WPR News.